And we are back at it on the Buckmaster Show, broadcasting from the Green Things Socolow Village Studio. Our friend Bill Buckmaster is finishing up his first full week of vacation and getting ready for a second. I'm Dan Shear, editor of the Green Valley News and the Sahuarita Sun, and a few of us are filling in for Bill as he enjoys some sand and beach and lots of good food. You can go on vacation with him by checking out his Facebook page, where he has been posting some beautiful shots. It is Friday, May 16th, and my pal Tom Fairbanks is producing and engineering the show just a few feet from me. Good to see you, Tom. On Fridays, Bill says thank you to the Buckmaster Show media partners. Those include TucsonSentinel.com publisher and editor Dylan Smith, Green Valley News, Sahuarita Sun, that's me, and Tucson Spotlight. You're going to find all of those and more on his website, BuckmasterShow.com. You can also find the archive of all of Bill's shows there, too. Our Friday's Focus interview today is with Sahuarita Mayor Tom Murphy. And if you have a question or comment anytime during the show, call us at 520-790-2040. That's the Buckmaster Show live line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Welcome, Tom Murphy.
Well, thank you. It's another beautiful day in Sahuarita, so I'm happy to be here. And, you know, we call ourselves, I call ourselves the B team, but I think we're maybe raising to the A-minus team, because I understand you were just an award winner, a editor extraordinaire.
Editor and publisher magazine, thank you for mentioning that. The questions will be extra tough today because now I have a higher bar to reach, I guess.
I think we moved into the A team, okay. because of you and your awards.
Bill always comments when you're on the show and expresses his thanks for you being here. And let's hit it. Here's your first tough question.
Okay.
You know, when we last had you on the show, I think it was October, you promised to work hard to get the Green Valley Sahuarita Chamber of Commerce to change its name to the Sahuarita Green Valley Chamber. How's that going?
I have not been successful on that so far.
You have failed us.
I have failed. And I haven't got an Amona's down in our town either. So it's a double failure. But I'm still working on both. But, you know, Randy said when we annexed part of Green Valley, he would start looking at that.
Oh, very good.
But I don't want to start any rumors that we're going for annexation. I'll throw that as a joke out there, and I'll get people, you know, like emailing me.
You have to know my humor sometimes. Where is humor?
I don't know. Grace and humor, I think, post-pandemic has, and good driving, have all sort of left the room, so to speak.
You know, there are some, I don't care. I'm still going to go ahead and say funny things that some people are going to not like.
Yes.
I think that's my mission for going forward here. So, and that reference was to Randy Graff, and he is the CEO, president of the Green Valley.
No, you were getting it right there.
No.
See, I'm starting the trend.
You talk about getting calls. He would have called me just to rough me up.
Absolutely.
So we have to remember that Randy Graff was at one point, I believe it was the majority whip in the state legislature. Yeah, and think of whip as they have a whip and a chair, and they just whip people into shape.
Right.
So he has no problem calling me.
And ran for Congress.
Exactly right. Yes. He sure did in 2008, I believe. So, okay, we've got some questions for you, Tom. And the first one is that I got something in the mail the other day. It looks like a little postcard. And it's about Prop 403. And so when we last talked, it was before the election in November.
Correct.
Prop 403 was asking the voters for $66 million, plus the town was going to chip in $10 million more from the general fund.
Correct.
And it was to go to several projects, including things like expanding the police department, things like that, but also a lot of recreational amenities. It went down pretty hard, roughly 60-40.
60-40, no, it did.
And why am I getting a postcard?
Well, we just like to communicate with our residents. The real answer is why it's fresh in people's minds. You know, we really, we thought we put our best foot forward. We certainly have, you know, through our surveys, listened to what the needs have been over the years and such. And our own infrastructure, like you mentioned, the growth of the expansion of the police department and public works maintenance building and such. So why it was really fresh in people's minds, we really do want to hear on why you didn't vote for it. Because, yes, it was 60-40, but if you swing, you know, just 10% of, or 10 percentage points of that, it would have passed. And we just want to hear, you know, from our residents, because the needs haven't changed. You know, the reason we asked for those things, both on infrastructure and recreation, are still necessary, and even growing those needs, you know, as our population continues to grow, they're still necessary. And, we just want to get that, those types of thoughts and details, because we all each have our own individual opinions why maybe it didn't pass. But really hearing from the voters themselves, I think, is an important component to it. So it's a little bit of a listening tour, so to speak.
What's your opinion on why it failed?
Well, there was a couple of things. The state of the economy, there was a big election, right? Presidential, all of that. The rural metro, as you know, Dan, had about half our community, the fire district.
Mm-hmm.
And they pulled out, and Santa Rita Fire was going to take over the rest of the town. Now, I already subscribed to Rural Metro, so it was a incremental increase for those folks. But about, I think if I remember, about 50 or 60% didn't subscribe,
mm-hmm,
to Rural Metro. So it was from zero all the way up. And so I think, part of it is just, the uncertainty of the economy, and maybe with that uncertainty, do people get to control something that they otherwise wouldn't?
Right.
But certainly I think it was, many, many factors. We had inflation and, again, uncertainty.
We had a big presidential election that was really contentious. And I believe it was a year earlier that the school had passed a $50 million bond.
Yes, yes.
So things were going up.
Right.
And now you're right. This is something people can control.
And, it's not that it's not needed. When we do every few months, we have some of the fifth graders come over and they do a mock town council meeting. So the last couple I've asked, at the end, I'll ask the kids, what's the one thing that you would want that we don't already have? And a lot of times it's around a rec center and a,
mm-hmm,
pool.
Sure.
Because as we have a couple of, really nice master plan communities which provide a lot of these amenities. But we have a significant portion of our town that doesn't have access to the same level of amenities. And as a town and as a mayor and town council, our requirement is to try to provide as many of those activities and amenities for our citizens. But the, and I tell them that, well, we had something on there, about 6 months ago. And a lot of them were surprised. Now, of course, the fifth graders, they're not our voters yet. But, it's interesting to hear from the public, when I ask. We actually had the high school students over not too long ago as well. And some of them are voters. And it was the same thought process, having a rec center and amenities, because I'm a firm believer that teens especially are going to be doing something,
mm-hmm,
with their off time. And I'd rather have it be productive
right,
than negative. And that's why when I was on the school board for so many years, I was proud of the, the plethora of opportunities from NJROTC award-winning, band award-winning, wrestling you're covering award-winning. So you have all of those offerings, baseball, football, it just goes on and on and on.
Right.
So if you're plugged in to something, one, you're not off the radar, so to speak, right? And that's a lot of times where issues happen with teens. And you're plugged in, and from a town's perspective, having something like that for kids to be plugged into. And, of course, I had some pickleball courts and outdoor racquetball, handball courts. So, again, plugged in, various opportunities for them, I think is important.
Well, I'll tell you, Tom, when I go on to high school or college campuses and I ask, I'm talking about journalism, and the very first question I say is, where do you get your news? And for younger people, it's that they run into it by accident, frankly, on social media.
Right.
And so for a lot of people to be unaware is unfortunately not surprising to me,
mm-hmm,
but here this it becomes a crisis when it becomes a crisis in their lives. And we had been covering this for a good long time because there was a good long run-up to the vote by the town. It took some very interesting steps, which we'll talk about here in a minute. But a lot of people just aren't paying attention.
Right, right. And to your earlier point, they're really just trying to survive and live their life, right? And, get one child to soccer practice and the other one to karate and all those things. And, and I'm always amazed, and you attend a lot of our town council meetings, you know, we have 38,000 residents, and other than staff on some of the meetings, you're the only other person that's actually there covering it.
It becomes a crisis, though, when suddenly they need it, and they don't even realize 6 months ago we voted on it, and, you know, maybe you've been absent or something. I got to tell you, I have no sympathy anymore. I'm just, you know, back in the day, and I'm not just saying, oh, gosh, along for the good old days, but people were much more plugged in when there wasn't an internet. Oddly enough, this gives us all the information in the world, but they're out watching cute cat videos instead of finding out what's going on in their own community.
Right.
That's got to be frustrating.
Yeah, no, it is. And as you mentioned, you covered it, and we tried to communicate. You know, we kind of had 9 projects. We whittled it down to 7 based on surveying. And we did a lot of what we could do. And we could have had a better ground game. You know, that would be one of our lessons learned. You have to, when you either as a school or as a town, you call for an election, you know, all of the employees have to go hands off. They can talk about the facts of the the measure, but they can't be out there, waving signs necessarily and advocating and things. It's a fine line. So you have to be very careful. So usually it helps if you have a strong pack that you can form, and they're sort of the soldiers on the ground. So
but I think you took the unusual step as a town to actually survey people and say, look, what would you be willing to pay for these amenities?
Yes.
And what was the response?
Yeah, it was, we put it out from zero, to about $30 because it was a geo bond, so it was a secondary property tax. And we really looked for, some people said zero, but it was, to the minority. And then some people said they'd be willing to do 30 a month, and that was sort of to the minority. Mm-hmm. So 20 was the sweet spot. And for, the average assessed value of a home in Sal Rita, it would have been about $17 a month for it. And, we tried to communicate, much like buying a house, right? You can save up for a house, but you don't have access to, to that while you're living there. And by the time you do save up the money, what is the construction cost, as we've seen over these years? So those are the types of things that as you're, paying for it, you get to enjoy it. Mm-hmm. As opposed to if we have to save up for it, pick a year, 20 years, well, you didn't have the enjoyment of it for that 20 years.
Right.
And
else. Conversely, this is a $66 million bond that ultimately could have cost almost $120 million when it's all paid back.
With the interest and such, right.
Right. And so, and we reported that because people need to know everything. And I know that those can be renegotiated and it can be dropped down and everything. So it was a best guess.
Right.
But for $200 a year, people said no.
No, I don't want all these. Now, it's interesting, but when, I get regular emails on that, pickleball keeps on growing. So, we'd love to have more pickleball courts. And, I have to respond back. I agree. And we had an opportunity for that. And the overall voting population said no. It's not that these amenities and these asks go away. They're still a requirement, especially as we continue to grow. But we'll have to figure out ways, one, to, baby step it as the monies become available, but then also, gather all the information, listen, and then potentially go back out again. But that's up to, we haven't had that discussion as a council.
Well, let's go back 10 years because Pima County had a bond request. It was 7 questions, 99 projects. It was well over $800 million.
Right.
They were just getting greedy. They were used to Pima County residents just passing these things left and right, and every one of them went down in flames.
Yes.
Because they were asking for just goofy stuff like a velodrome and paying for land where people go fly their remote control planes and, just some goofy stuff. But there were some very important things in that, too, that also went down in flames.
Yes.
And so let me go back to the town's request last year. I'm not going to say anything was goofy in there, but I'm going to say some things are, you can live without it. But let's just look at the police department expansion. We're a growing community. It's cramped in there.
And what safety is our number one,
And it's a very safe community.
Right.
What we learned 10 years ago from the county is that the important projects will get done. In fact, one of them in our town was our library.
Right.
And that went down in flames, but it still got done. the police department expansion actually was already underway.
Yes. Well, we have three phases on it. So one and two was part of our ongoing general fund capital improvement projects. So we'll continue that. It was phase three that was actually contained within the bond. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we'll have to evaluate how long does phase one and two take us into the future before we really then have to have the harder conversation on how do we complete phase three within the, you know, the normal budgeting process or considering going out again. The Public Works Building was another one. You know, they're not able to work on this equipment in a controlled environment. So, you know, it's quality of life issues. I think you probably saw just within the last couple of days, Safewise, one of the ranking companies, rated mm-hmm. us the fourth safest community in Arizona, which we're very proud of. So you want to really have a great work, at least an appropriate work environment. And they are, as we continue to hire, we can't fit all of our officers in one training room.
Sure.
To have a meeting and things like that. And, you know, it's very important, you know, to us to maintain a safe community.
So what's the next step? You've sent out this postcard. You're asking people to go online and tell us what you think. Now,
yep.
I know it's a it's not anything where they can type in responses. It's basically just pick something.
Yes. Yeah. And it's on our town's website, actually, okay. To do it as well. So we, you know, we went on the website, we did the card, and it's just really to try to get the initial reaction. And then as we have our budget retreats every year, I'm sure the manager and the management team will come back and say, okay, this is what we're hearing. Here's what our needs are. Here's what we think we can absorb over time. Here's where, you know, we're really going to run out of runway, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And, you know, is it something that we would consider? But we haven't even had that discussion.
And yet. I know it's real early, but if you felt you were getting a green light from the community, what would be the soonest where you could go back to them and say, hey, let's try it again?
Yeah, I think it would probably be, well, I mean, the soonest would be 2026, but I wouldn't expect that to happen.
Okay.
And I think there's some requirements when we can go. I think it has to be even year. I'd have to check on that. But I'm thinking it would either be 26 or 28.
Okay, we are one segment into our Friday Focus interview with Sahuarita Mayor Tom Murphy. Support for the show comes from the Pima Council on Aging. The decisions made today shape the future for older adults. Stay informed on legislative changes that impact aging and take action when it matters most. Sign up for the timely updates and make a difference at advocate.pcoa.org. You're listening to the Buckmaster Show, broadcasting from the Green Things Socolow Village studio. Our live line is made possible by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. We will be right back.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
This is your captain speaking. Thank you for flying with Tucson International Airport, where you can avoid the hassles, long lines, and the expensive parking of the Phoenix Airport. Skip the traffic, breeze through security, and park with ease, all while supporting your community. Every flight from TUS brings more destinations and better connections right here to Tucson. So next time you're planning a getaway, remember, fly easy, fly local, fly TUS. This is your captain signing off. We're cleared for takeoff.
Vero Amore, where every certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore is located in the lovely Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell. Also, check out the full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamorepizza.com. For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rialto River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan is funded by a half-cent sales tax through June 2026. The funding has led to a $1.6 billion investment in regional transportation improvements over the past two decades to improve your quality of life. The RTA is working on a final draft of a new regional transportation plan for future voter consideration. The $2.46 billion draft plan includes roadway, transit, safety, bicycle, pedestrian, environmental, and other needed improvements. Learn more at rtanext.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. I'm Dan Shear, sitting in for a vacationing Bill Buckmaster. I'm with Sahuarita Mayor Tom Murphy, and we were just talking about, frankly, a failed bond last year and how the town is going to maybe take another look at it and see what they're going to do going forward, if anything. And I look around the community, maybe it's because where I live, but there is so much growth going on down there, and some of it's retail, a lot of it's housing. I heard you talking the other day, and you said something along the lines of grow or die as a community. Can you explain that?
Yes, yes. And, you know, when I say grow or die, it can, you know, have many, you know, particulars to it. So, you know, obviously the way we're funded in Arizona, it's, you know, difficult unless in various ways that if you're not growing, I never believe a town can be in neutral.
Sure.
Either you're in forward or you're reverse. And so, it, you know, it's very important. So I remember a few years ago, we identified, for instance, 75% tax leakage. So it can, you know, growth can be where we, you know, we change to, because we're really relying on the time on residential growth and construction sales tax. And when the Great Recession hit, you know, we realized a one-legged stool, so to speak, isn't going to be really effective. So, you know, grow is in the retail, the commercial, and as you've noticed over the years on really still we're a safe, growing residential community, but we're also focusing on other areas with the stores and getting Northwest Hospital in and Pima Heart and Banner. So, you know, from those perspectives, you know, for workforce, when we brought in our Samtech building, our Advanced Manufacturing Technology building with Power Photonics and ATAG and Global Water. We'll be doing, I think, a ribbon cutting next week.
Yeah, it's on Monday. Yes. Yeah, trying to get up there with them.
So, you know, grow can be, you know, but also, you know, we're looking to the east. We're hemmed in on the north, the west, and the south. But going east with the state land, you know, there's growth there, too. So really, just again, the way you're funded in Arizona, all of our capital projects come from our construction sales tax.
So is it accurate that there are two pieces of state trust land within the boundaries of Sahuarita?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes. One next to Rancho Sahuarita, I-19 and Rancho Sahuarita kind of in the heart of it. And then down by the crossing where the Sprouts is and such. So really we've been actively trying to move those pieces forward because we've had great relationship and conversation with the state land department. But really, they need to see and want to see how we manage property we already have in our town boundaries to before we move forward, or as hopefully simultaneously as we move forward and try to get some of this other land that would be contiguous to us to our east.
And is it difficult to convince the state that they should give us this?
I don't know about difficult. They don't have a lot of bandwidth. They don't have a lot of employees, and their requirement for the state trust land is for the highest and best value to go to the market. So I think where we sometimes are in our rural areas, southern Arizona and other areas, like in real estate, you know, if you're using comps, right, and the comps they get for state land in Maricopa, you know, is very high. So part of my conversations over the years has been, I understand that, but we're a very big state. And to get more of these parcels on the books, one of the things that we are watching and, you know, observing is over the next 5 to 10 years, probably about the 5-year mark, and especially in southern Arizona and Pima County, we're running out of lots. We are literally running out of residential lots, and we don't have a lot of land left still in private hands. You know, there's, you know,
right,
all kinds of federal and state and open space and all these other. So, you know, it's something to pay attention to, because if you're continually moving into the state, you have to have a long runway. You have to get, you know, the land, it's raw, you have to get infrastructure to it, you have to get it through the platting process. So, you know, I think we're good in Sal Barita for about the next 5 years, but you see all the development going off of I-19, especially within Rancho Sarita. You know, they're running out of inventory. Most of that property you see is in the home builders' hands.
But between Green Valley and Sal Barita, I think there are 6,000 to 7,000 acres of pecan trees, which,
yes,
we all love, and especially when they're in bloom, it's just beautiful. Any plans for that, though?
Yes, yeah, there's definitely, they have a partnership with the Crown family, and they have a specific plan development agreement to do about 15,000 homes over the next 50 years. Now, their difficulty is most of it is in the floodway or the floodplain.
Right.
So they have to engineer, either, you know, bank protect the Santa Cruz River or take the land out. Also, most of it is not served currently by sewer. It doesn't have any sewer capacity. So we are really having great conversations with Pima County on potentially doing a regional plant together, because both our wastewater plant in the town of Sal Barita and then Pima County's wastewater plant down by Quail Creek, they will be hitting capacity at some point. And really, for economies of scale and such, you'd rather have regional plants than you want to have dotted, you know, plants all over the place, just because of environmental, you know, issues, cost of construction, expansion. So that would probably be what would end up serving the specific plan for FICO, Sal Barita Farms. But, you know, when you've talked about the economy and such, how difficult will it be to do another master plan in the future with all of the requirements and difficulties to do that?
Well, I want to talk about the new projects, whether housing or retail down in our area, because there is growth. But I have to tell you, if I see one more storage facility going up, my head's going to explode. And this is not a Sarita thing. This is a nationwide thing. Americans just have too much junk.
They do. They want to keep it all
exactly.
forever.
And it's amazing to me that these storage facilities, which are not cheap.
Right. No, they are not.
Trust me. Do the math, folks. 12 months of paying for one of those versus the junk that is losing value every single day it's in there because it's getting dried and rotted and whatever, and you don't need it.
Right.
You don't need it.
Well, and I grew up in New England, so we had a basement, we had an attic, you know, so we had our built-in storage system.
That's true. Some people just don't have
stuff.
It.
Yeah.
Well, but we have a 3-story one going in. Actually, one just opened.
Yes.
And we have another one being built. And,
in front of it.
It's just like 3 stories of these things, which are, you know, killing the mountain views.
Well,
I know you're getting calls.
Yes. Well, and yesteryear, it would be about pet stores. If you remember,
yeah,
we had PetSmart, Petco, Pet Club.
That's true.
And it's like, how many pet stores do you need? And I have to educate people or inform them that, as you know, each of those, in that case of the pet stores, were on different properties,
sure,
and different owners. And if you're one or you're two of those three and you're the third one going, what am I missing here? If they're there, why aren't we there?
Right.
So, you know, it's that internal competition. And what I tell people is, you know, it's, for me, it's a free market, and, you know, how to do it easier, you know, faster and cheaper for the development community. That's what I think, you know, from a regulatory standpoint, that's how I think towns should operate. But we don't have the ability, we don't own that land, and I'm not a believer in picking winners and losers,
right?
I'm not going to go out, and I was teased, and what if I said I don't like pools. So when you come in for a permit,
sure,
right,
sure,
I want to be concerned about water, so I'm not giving you your pool permit. Oh, no, I don't want that to happen. So, you know, it's a personal property rights and these developers, and we welcome all because of that tax leakage we were mentioning. earlier. So somehow they have the demographics and do their pro forma and say, this is where we want to be. And I just want to roll out along with my town staff. We just want to roll out the, you know, welcome mat and say, come on in.
But if I'm not mistaken, the first three-story storage facility to open in Sawatita just, last year or so, something, was the first three-story building in the town other than La Posada, which we annexed in.
Yes.
And so that was built when it was still Green Valley, but we annexed it. Is that accurate?
Well, you know what? I'd have to check on that. because there's three stories and physical three stories, but then we have, churches.
Height.
Yeah. Then we have height as well.
Yeah.
And interesting, because when you go from I-19, towards the east, the drop off in elevation. So it's interesting. A three-story building close to I-19 is going to look very different than a three-story building
Absolutely.
Over down by Old Nogales Highway.
Absolutely. Okay, we are talking with Mayor Tom Murphy of the town of Sahuarita on the Buckmaster Show, and we are broadcasting from the Green Things Socolo Village Studio. We'll be right back.
Are you ready to immerse yourself in a diverse culture while wandering through bustling markets, sampling exotic cuisines, or forging connections with people from all walks of life? Well, Bon Voyage Travel is here to plan your perfect journey. Whether you're setting off on a solo expedition, embarking on a group adventure, or simply dreaming of far-off destinations, we can help create your custom experience. The road ahead is filled with endless possibilities. Visit bvtravel.com to find your specialized Bon Voyage Travel advisor today.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. I'm Dan Shear, sitting in for Bill. We are talking to Mayor Tom Murphy, town of Sahuarita, down where I live, talking about growth and projects and how to manage all this stuff. Let's turn the attention here, though, to a big problem, again, nationwide. We recently did a big story on general practitioners.
Yes.
going away. We had at least five in our area retire recently. That is a huge hit. It is so tough to get in to see a doctor in the Green Valley, Sahuarita area, although I know one, Frank Bonpietro, has just started up there, which is a help. But we have a big gaping hole. People don't want to come to Tucson. And even then, you're going to be waiting months for a for an appointment. Anything that the town can do? Because I know you're getting calls on this one, too.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I was one of those, folks who lost mine. He retired down there. And I ended up getting a appointment through United Community Health Center. But I think it was 9 months out. Now, one of the advantages is they have same-day care. So if I get a strep throat or something, I can get in on the same-day care.
Sure.
But no, it is. We did start, we just had our first study session with the town and our mayor and council and staff on incentives. So we're really looking at how, what is legal, where and if it should be used, what sectors it could be used on, because it really has to, I think, spur necessary areas that there's a vacuum, so to speak, in. And I would say medical care is one of those. And but, as I mentioned earlier, I think we've done well on the specialty areas, again, with the hospital and Banner and Pima Heart and such. But it's really your primary care, your PCP,
right?
That the folks, we have seen retirements. And also, when you have, Green Valley, there's a higher need, right, for care more often probably than it would be in Sahuarita. So that would be one of the sectors that we would be looking at. I know before Sun Corridor and the Tucson Chamber merged, Sun Corridor was actually working on that issue itself. They were doing an analysis and things, and I'd have to get updated.
Well, you talk about incentives, so what would that look like? You're talking about some breaks for people who when you come here?
Right. Well, one of the things that we're looking at, I know you're following that as well, our movie theater closed.
Sure.
And we've had some really great engagement with Roadhouse Cinema, and they have another product line with Roadies, sort of like a Dave and Buster's or Main Event. So really looking at trying to backfill that. So that, the entertainment, talking about the youth earlier, when tax leakage, we have this new software system that actually can kind of track where traffic goes for different sectors. And we had learned how many thousands of people from Sahuarita were going up to, to Roadhouse. I think it's off of Grant, also into Harkins. So that's some of the types of incentives that could, some of it doesn't have to be monetary. It can be access to this type of information. It could be, depending on jobs or the sector, the salary for those jobs. It could be some relief on some permitting fees and things like that. I mean, there's been a lot of case law. You just can't write blank checks, and the value has to be more than what you're giving as a town. So again, doesn't always have to be monetary, but that's where we're having these conversations, and we just started.
Okay, we're going to go to the live line. We have Dr. Joanne DiFilippo. How are you doing?
Good. How are you? Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Good to hear your voice.
I love the discussion that you're having. And I wanted to bring this up because this is something that other communities have done. Every year, the Board of Supervisors generally allocates about $15 million towards graduate medical education for the U of A College of Medicine. And one of the things that we're able to do is we could put a two-year requirement on receipt of those funds to have the residents, after they graduate, put in 2 years in exchange for the $15 million contribution that the taxpayers give every year. And this is a very viable option. It's done in a lot of places.
Sure.
It's kind of like the taxpayers of the local region will give you $15 million towards your graduate medical education, and in exchange, you fill the need, because I'm not sure how many people are aware, but Arizona happens to be one of five states across this nation that is regarded as a HPSA. It's a health profession shortage area in every single health professions that we have. And it's a great way to help curb you know, while we're funding graduate medical education, but also to do the payback to community. So I just wanted to point that out.
So hang on, because so the $15 million is there right now, but there's no obligation attached.
Correct. And we, and the Board of Supervisors generally, to the best of my knowledge, I've seen it every year. I mean, at least for the last 14 years, we do a $15 million GME allocation.
And the other thing, Joanne,
to the U of A College of Medicine.
Yeah, no, that's a great idea. And the other thing, working with our community health centers, I've learned over time, they have a loan forgiveness program. So a lot of the doctors that they actually have here, and it depends on the HRSA score, on how rural and how tough it is, they can get a large forgiveness, but it is to be able to, because they're providing that service locally where you may not otherwise get those doctors. So it sounds very similar, but I love the requirement that you have to come back and serve where the folks, taxpayers, help you.
Yeah, I believe they're great incentive programs. You know, coming out of med school, it's very rare when you are not heavily subsidized.
Very good.
And those expenses can be very, very demanding and hold you back in life.
Well, and it was, so, you know, my son got his master's from U of A in education, and he had to stick around for 2 years and teach in Arizona, and he did do that. And so that is exactly kind of what you're talking about.
SUSD, our school district as well, Joanne, has a little partnership that if you go to become a teacher up at the U of A, they will, you know, stipend you a little bit. It's not huge, but everything helps, whether it's, you know, in getting out of medical school or teacher.
Yeah, I did a public service loan forgiveness. There are a number of programs that are available. If you're willing to dedicate the time into community service, being a public service to the taxpayers, you can get certain amounts forgiven. And I just think that we, the taxpayers of Pima County, have been contributing $15 million a year, and I believe we could do a mutually benefit incentive program.
Very good. Dr. DeFilippo, thank you for the phone call.
Yeah, sounds like a win-win. Absolutely.
Appreciate the call.
Yeah, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Very good.
Bye-bye.
Okay, yeah, good call and good thought and along to go national with this. We hear this being discussed with Medicaid, that people who are receiving it, perhaps one of the GOP suggestions is that perhaps they actually work for those benefits to a point, those who are able. So this idea of paying back is on the national level also very, very interesting. If you can give us an update here on the town dealings with the Copper World Project, that's Hudbay Mineral. They are planning a open pit copper mines just east of Sahuadita and Green Valley. And I believe, is there a roads and dust committee meeting now? Because there's some concerns about all the trucks and the dust kicking up.
Yes, and Hudbay actually invited our staff to the table because a piece of Santa Rita Road is in within the town boundaries. So one of the things that, you know, we have been at the table and saying that, you know, there needs to be a solution for that, especially where we can control some of that conversation would be in our town boundaries. Also, you know, you've been following as well, you know, the traffic and, you know, meeting with them not too long ago, they committed during their feasibility study that they will be doing a traffic study. That's one of the things that has, you know, sort of been on the radar. What about all these trucks? They don't have to do this. But obviously, as they step forward, you know, continue to march forward on this, they will have to do a feasibility study. So they've committed to doing that traffic study, which we're very grateful for.
Is the bigger concern dust or safety, or is it both?
Well, it depends on what I think some people want is the outcome. People don't want it at all. So, you know, as you've been following both sides of the mountain, Rosemont and Copper World, I think the process has gone on longer than World War One and Two put together, which I don't think is very fair. At the end of the day, I saw a statistic the other day that I think almost 70% of the copper utilized in the U.S. comes from Arizona. You know, we are the copper state. You know, it's on the Capitol building. And I've always said, you know, copper is where copper is. And either we choose to start living without some of these things that they provide. I think their average car has 50 pounds of copper in it. An electric car has 176 or so. in there. And in a, and to me, you know, just be honest. If you don't want it in your backyard, that, you know, okay, say that, you know, type of thing.
Sure.
But if, from an environmental standpoint, the other point I always continually make is that if you're worried about the world environment, I don't believe there's any country in the world by a multitude has any better oversight from environmental standards than the U.S. is. And so I think, you know, just let's not be hypocritical that if we need it and it is where it is, you know, the Taiwanese chip manufacturer up in Phoenix, well, that could have gone to Denver. It could have gone, you know, here. It could have gone anywhere. Copper is working. But, you know, having good oversight, having a good, strong permitting process, having, you know, ADEQ and PDEQ, you know, watching it. But there is a process, and I think you should be able to follow a process and have an outcome with, you know, shorter than World War One and Two put together.
Right, and I've been to many public meetings on this. I know you have too, and we'll see how that all plays out. RTA, that's the group that's funded by a half-cent county sales tax for road projects. It's been around since 2006. It's ending next year, and now RTA Next is being batted around. It's going to come up for renewal next year. Would continuing the tax, half-cent sales tax, county sales tax, for 20 more years be good for Sahuarita?
Well, I think it would be not only good for Sahuarita in general, it'd be good for the region. We have a lot of infrastructure needs, you know, as we were talking about earlier with our bond. So I think it would be good for the region, but I also think, back to your conversation about the six county bonds, if it's not a good plan, then whether it's our bond or the old county bonds, it's not going to pass. And so I've been advocating that we have to put together a plan that looks good for the whole region, not just for a particular municipality.
Okay.
And, you know, that's to me is the end all be all, is you have to have a plan that's supported by all sectors. You know, we're a million folks in the county. And last time it passed, it was the outlying areas that carried it. It didn't carry in the city by a little
right.
bit.
Exactly.
So, you know, I just think it has to be a good plan. And I think your term batting it around is a good analogy because, you know, it's been a little slugfest.
Sure has been. I wish we had time to get into it. Yeah. We got about a minute left, and a reader actually asked me to ask you this question. Does Sahuarita have a homeless problem?
No. Well, I don't think it doesn't not exist anywhere. But we certainly don't have a homeless problem like other areas do. And we have a lot of great services within the Green Valley, Sahuarita, you know, Pima County area. But no, and if we have any musicians playing fake, I know a really good editor.
I'm all over them.
You're all over them.
I didn't see too many this year.
No.
But I did chase a few.
I think your reputation precedes yourself. But no, it's not something that we've actually had a lot of issues dealing with.
But you actually got ahead of it because was it last year that the county actually passed, if an ordinance is the right word, about no camping on public property?
Right, right. And then you saw our no panhandling signs.
Correct.
You know,
correct.
You know, discouraging that. And if you want to give, which I do, and
sure.
I know you probably do as well, mm-hmm. give to the organizations that can actually fix the issue, you know, not the money on the street, so to speak, which you don't control necessarily what they're doing with it.
Exactly. And that gets me back to the fake violinists, because they're just ripping people off.
Yes.
First of all, they are not in need. I know they lie and everything, but if you really want to help them, help these organizations that reach out to them, because in our area particularly, we have some great ones.
Absolutely.
So, okay, I want to thank Mayor Tom Murphy for joining us. The time goes by way too fast, as always.
So we'll have to send Bill back on vacation again.
Yeah. He's out again in August, so we'll plan a date. So,
okay.
Thank you for being here. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure, as always. Thanks.
Okay. We're going to be right back with Weekend Watch to help you plan your next couple of days. Don't forget, our live line is made possible by the pros over at Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. We'll be back in a minute.
The Green Valley News and Sahuarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The News and Sun's media reach 75% of the region through newspapers, websites, social media, video, newsletters, and more. They also produce more than a dozen print and digital magazines annually for an audience of 70,000. Find them at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sahuarita Sun, covering your hometown.
Located in the heart of Arizona wine country, about an hour south of Metro Tucson, Flying Leap Estate Vineyards Winery and Distillery Facilities are one of the most beautiful wine venues in the southwestern United States. Come relax and unwind at our spacious property and learn about Arizona grape viticulture and winemaking from our team of trained sommeliers and discover the intricacies of the art of distillation. Learn more at flyingleapvineyards.com.
Travel is in my DNA. When I'm ready to start another adventure, my trip begins and ends at our local airport, Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. TUS, where it's made easy to fly. Start planning now for your next air adventure by visiting flytucson.com. Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority invests over $100 million annually in transportation improvements in the greater Tucson region based on public input. The RTA and its regional partners deliver roadway, transit, safety, pedestrian, bicycle, environmental, and other needed improvements to meet the demands of transportation network users over a 20-year period. Learn more about the economic and quality of life benefits of the RTA's 2006 voter-approved plan and flexible funding at rtamobility.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. It's time for Weekend Watch, a great way to plan your next couple of days, presented by our friends in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. They're just 3 hours east of Tucson. There's a lot to do in Silver City and Grant County, including hiking in the Gila National Wilderness, visiting the world-famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument. Find out more about them and what to do, where to stay, all that information at southwestnewmexico.org. We get our weekend roadmap from the crew over at 101.7 The Drive Tucson. Welcome to Matt Gentry, who I hear on the air all the time. You guys do great work. Love your station.
Thank you.
And I like the on-air talent. You actually have talent.
Oh.
Because I've heard some that don't.
Oh, I appreciate that.
It's one of those things where, again, you make it look a lot easier than it is because I know it's tough.
Yeah. So. It's. I mean, you know, we keep busy, that's for sure.
Well, that's when you get one of these print guys like me behind a microphone, and it's just not what we went to school for, and it makes us appreciate what you do a whole lot more.
Well, I appreciate that. I've been told I got a face for radio and a voice for print.
Absolutely.
So I'm in the right one.
And what they say about print people is that we're ugly and we talk too much. That's why you don't put us on TV, although I've done it many times.
That's
funny. We have to be careful. So hit us up. What's going on this weekend?
Of course, the University of Arizona spring graduation commencement is happening tonight, 7:30 Arizona Stadium. So if you're planning on going out to dinner tonight, might not want to plan on that.
It's like going out on Mother's Day. Really?
It's ridiculous.
Who does that? Do not take your mom out on Mother's Day.
No, there's no point.
Wait. Nope.
Of course, tomorrow's also the brew at the zoo, which is always fun. Reed Park Zoo. You can taste a wide selection of craft beers, hard ciders, lagers, of course, live music. It is a 21 and over event, but it's a good time.
Leave the kids at home where they belong.
That's right. And then, of course, Tucson Symphony Orchestra is performing the music of Star Wars, The Force Awakens. I've actually seen this. You go, you watch the movie while the orchestra plays the soundtrack to it.
Wow.
And it's absolutely one of those things you have to experience because it's this good. We saw Empire Strikes Back, and it occurred to me throughout the 2 hours, it occurred to me several times, oh, yeah, there's a live symphony playing. I mean, it is spot on perfection.
That is terrific. You know, we just got back from the Redwoods. It was my wife's bucket list thing. And we went through, what's it called, Fern Valley or Fern something, where all the Ewoks were. So part of the, one of the movies was actually filmed down there.
That's pretty cool.
It was wild.
Yeah.
So, okay, we got anything else going on, or is that about it for this
That's
this
pretty
weekend?
Much it. I mean, you know, you can always go if you want to find out some great places to find some events throughout the weekend. We have a great events section at our website, which is thedrivetucson.com.
Okay, very good. And I will say that with all the hard work we do at the paper, our events calendar is by far the best read thing.
Oh, yeah,
and
it's big time.
You know, it's a shot to the ego, but you know what? You serve the people and they love it.
I'm there all the time looking for events myself. If it's not our website, it's you guys.
Very good. Thank you, Matt Gentry.
You're
101.7,
welcome.
The Drive Tucson. We appreciate your input. Okay, the Buckmaster Show radio program is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is responsible for the content of the program. Our thanks to Buckmaster Assistant Rosemary Brandt, producer engineers John Couch and Tom Fairbanks, and the entire team here at Bustos Media Tucson. A few of us, again, are going to be sitting in Bill's seat next week as he finishes up his second week of vacation. I'm actually going to be back on Monday with Manny Valenzuela. He is the superintendent of the Saurita Unified School District. You have yourself a great weekend, and congratulations to those U of A Wildcat graduates.